we're getting ready to leave Vrindavan. Oh no. And not only that, but Narada is going to go tattletale on Krishna, Tecumseh. Oh no. So let's hear about it. Sanatan Goswami speaking on text 16, or writing. Narada went to Tecumseh to relate the astonishing activities in the village after Krishna killed Arishta. He told him of Krishna's killing Putana and others. He went after Arishta was killed. The pastimes of Gokula were almost complete. The Yadavas were suffering, and the Devatas were disturbed. Kamsa had to be killed. The opportunity now occurred. I will make this happen. Kamsa should bring Krishna to Mathura, and Krishna will then kill him. This was because Narada was omniscient. Bhagavan. He was an avatar of the Lord, or he was similar to the Lord because he was a great devotee. He also knows the pastimes of Raja continue eternally, though hidden. Therefore, one should not hate Narada. Deva Darshana means he sees the devas. To fulfill the goal, since he is the sage among the devatas, he did this. And Vishwanath writes, short, the term Deva Darshanaha, a name for Narada Muni, indicates that Narada had attained the perfection of seeing God. So he saw God and he saw the devas. And that he knows or sees the pastimes of Krishna. Knowing that Krishna's Vrajalila was ending, Narada spoke to Kamsa to induce him to bring Krishna to Mathura. And he's really, like, clever and diplomatic and all those things. Narada told Kamsa, Yashoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also, Rama is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudev entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj, and it is these two boys who have killed your men. Purport. Kamsa had been led to believe that Krishna was the son of Yashoda and that Devaki's eighth child had been a daughter. The identity of Devaki's eighth child was extremely important to Kamsa because a prophecy had foretold that her eighth son would kill him. Here, Narada informs the king that the eighth child of Devaki was the formidable Krishna, thus implying that the prophecy should be taken very seriously. Having received this information, Kamsa obviously will now do everything in his power to kill Krishna and Balaram. Not possible. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, what did he say to Kamsa? The famous eighth child of Devaki, a female, was actually the daughter of Yashoda. Krishna, commonly known as Nanda's son, was actually the son of Devaki. Balaram, thought to be Nanda's son, was actually the son of Rohini. Question. If Krishna and Balaram are Vasudeva's children, who brought them to Braja? Answer. They were brought by Vasudeva. the plot thickens. Jiva Goswami writes, though he is the son of Rohini, Balaram is actually in the womb of Devaki first. Narada explained this. Out of fear, Vasudeva entrusted the children to Nanda. Since he is afraid of you, you should not kill him, Vasudeva. Nanda is Vasudeva's friend, Sva Mitre. We were hearing this word, Mitre means friend. Mitra, Mitre. Mitre is the vocative. They have very strong ties of affection. They are friends, Mitre, and relatives, Sva. Vai means that it is well known. Since you do not know about this, you're foolish. Narada spoke in this way to gain Kamsa's trust. They have killed your friends, Purushaha. He makes this statement to testify to the facts that he has just related. By indicating the two boys' great strength, he made Kamsa constantly frightened of them. And here's a reference to the same section, this verse of chapter 36. And it's from Chaitanya Bhagavat Adikanda. It's the boys in what's the village? Ekachakra, headed by Nittai, little boy, playing Krishna's pastime. So here's from that section. On one occasion, a boy dressed as Narada with a beard and gave Kamsa some confidential information. And this is Bhaktisiddhanta's commentary. The Sanskrit verb, or the verbal root, the dhatu, kach, means tie. Ka cha is used to indicate a person dressing as another person, or a fiction character in a drama, or in other words, depicting a pastime, sporting, joking, or dancing. The word dadi comes from the Sanskrit word dadi, D-H-I, which means beard. Bhaktisiddhanta writes, previously when someone played the part of Narada Muni, he would wear a white beard. And thus, this practice is still current. Following this tradition, pictures are also made in the same way. Paragraph. Quoting the verse from text 17, this morning's verse, Kamsa Stane Naradera Mantra, or Narada's advice to Kamsa. Kamsa Stane Naradera Mantra is found in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:36:17. After Kamsa's demoniac friends were killed, Narada one day went before Kamsa and spoke as follows, quote, Yashoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also, Rama is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudeva entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj, and it is these two boys who have killed your men. Paragraph. The word mantra here refers to a confidential presentation related to a deity or a negotiation, a political deliberation, an argument, or a secret council. Mantra. Kamsa Stane Naradera Mantra. text 18. Upon hearing this, the master of the Bhojas became furious and lost control of his senses. He picked up a sharp sword to kill Vasudeva. Commentary by Vishwanath. Kamsa took up his sword, but not in the presence of Vasudeva. Jiva Goswami writes, his senses and mind became agitated. This means he lost all power of discrimination. Sanatan Goswami concludes, Bhoja Pati suggests Kamsa had great power. Also, he was the best of enjoyers, Bhoja Pati. Having many desires, he had little intelligence. His senses and mind became agitated. This means he lost all power of discrimination. Text 19. But Narada restrained Kamsa by reminding him that it was the two sons of Vasudeva who would cause his death. Kamsa then had Vasudeva and his wife shackled in iron chains. Purport, BBT. Kamsa realized that there was no use in killing Vasudeva since it was Vasudeva's sons, Krishna and Balaram, who were to kill him. According to the Acharyas, Narada also advised Kamsa that if he killed Vasudeva, the two young boys might flee, and that it was therefore better not to kill him. Diplomacy. Rather, Narada mentioned, recommended, Kamsa should bring Krishna and Balaram to Kamsa's capital city, Mathura. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that Narada did not act inimically toward the great devotees Vasudeva and Devaki when he revealed this information to Kamsa. In fact, as it is explained in the 11th canto, Vasudeva was grateful to Narada because he arranged for Kamsa's death at Krishna's hands and further arranged for Krishna to come and live in Mathura, where his loving father could associate with him. Narada's expert, as usual. Vishwanath's commentary. Narada prevented Kamsa from killing Vasudeva by giving the following advice. Quote, if you kill Vasudeva, Krishna and Balaram will flee in terror. Do not reveal to Vasudeva that you want to kill Krishna and Balaram. If you tell him, he will tell his friend Nanda, who will flee with his sons. Therefore, on some pretext, imprison Vasudeva and Devaki and bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. One should not think that in saying this, Narada was being unkind to Devaki and Vasudeva. Rather, this was a sign of affection. Doesn't sound like it, doesn't look like it, but after Krishna and Balaram arrived in Mathura, on seeing their children, they gave thanks to Narada. Thus, there was no fault in Narada suggesting that they be imprisoned, because that comes up sometimes. And then finally, for this morning, Jiva Goswami writes, quote, if you kill his father, you should expect that he will go into hiding somewhere, Krishna. Narada advised him that by binding Devaki and Vasudeva, Krishna and Balaram would come to Mathura immediately to free them. That was the reason. Krishna hears, he'll come, because Narada is planning to go tell Krishna what happened. They're in shackles. You've got to go save them. He also bound Devaki in order to hasten Krishna coming or out of his evil nature. That's Kamsa's evil nature. So, you know, very... Narada understood the mind and the personality of Kamsa. And He was his best friend. How do you be the best friend of Kamsa? Well, if you're Narada, then you know how to be the best friend, because a best friend is one who reminds one of Krishna. Right? A best friend? To be someone's friend is not pat them on the back. We had this little discussion with the Palatine Gita camp for kids, like the importance of friendship with Krishna. And what does it mean to be a friend? And what does it mean for Krishna to be your friend? So we didn't go right to what I just went to because it was kids. But the best friend is one to remind you of Krishna. That's your best friend. Being someone's best friend, of course, how you do that depends upon the person and their relationship with the person and time, place, circumstance. But in principle, that's being someone's friend. Now, that isn't what came out of the discussion. And just a little sharing, because I was thinking about this in the last half hour. Feedback from that, this is just like a social commentary, but feedback from that exercise was this Gita camp was in two groups, the younger and the older. The older was, I think, 12 to 16 or something like that. And then the younger was below 12. So the younger ones, they gave textbook answers kind of things about what a friend is and, push the button and they know what a friend is. I'm sure there was something affective, someone that's always there for you and they don't judge you and all those colloquial things. But then when it came to Krishna as your friend, they gave textbook answers, really who knows what their understanding was. But the older group, the feedback, because after the part that I was taking part in, then there were facilitators, some teenage and 20-year-old devotee youth, going to a breakout group. This is all online, so they had the technology down. And then they were discussing, and the older group said what young people often say, like, I don't feel connected to Krishna, and I feel distant from Krishna because there's all these rules and regulations, and people put the rules and regulations, and that distances me from Krishna, and those kinds of things. Like, they don't feel connected to Krishna. They're, not even really trying to sort it out, like how to feel connected to Krishna when they have those feelings. And these are kids that are taking part in the Gita camp, which speak of concentric circles going out. Anybody that's had connection with youth know those are dynamics. Even in children born in devotee families. Now, as far as I understand, most of the kids in the Gita camp were kids not born in devotee families. It kind of like mom and dad pushed them forward saying, spiritual things during the summer is good. Instead of doing what they would do otherwise, I want to enroll them in the Gita camp. So I don't know the demographics. But it's not uncommon, it's not unknown, even amongst devotee born, Hare Krishna kids, what to speak of others. So it's, the connection with Krishna is real happiness, and there's so many distractions that, we're disconnected from real happiness, and the mind is looking for happiness with senses and sense objects because that's the program. And then that makes the mind disturbed and makes the senses agitated. And then, to have any sense of connection with Krishna, and that happiness it's so remote. Even if others wish it for you, even, you know, aside from adults, if you're a kid, how do you, so having good devotee friends, that's a really good start. So our, it's a challenge. And having someone that's a little bit older and a little bit more connected, it's the Sadhu Sangha principle, that somebody that's a little bit more in the age group of young and has a sense of connection and shares that sense of connection with those that don't feel it. And how to do that is, you know, an interesting question. But it will help the person that's performing that function to look more closely at their connection with Krishna in their life and how to transfer and transmit that sense of connection to others that aren't feeling that connection. I mean, that's our life as devotees anyways. That's what being a friend is anyways. And, you know, it's... as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it's very rare to find somebody that knows Krishna, and the way to know Krishna is through bhakti. And amongst all living entities that are interested in spirituality, how many are interested in bhakti? They have another idea of what spirituality is, and it's like abundant out there. And how many people are not interested in spirituality? They're distracted by stuff. And technology and peer pressure and, you know, advertising and, you know, the way of life of Kali Yuga. We're a product of our time. So it's not easy, but it's one shouldn't expect a large number of people. That's not in the cards. I mean, even Krishna says, Manushanam Sahasrishu. So what do we do? We, according to time, place, circumstance, audience, receptivity, and so on, extend. And most importantly is we extend connectivity based upon our being connected. And that's our main focus, is how we're connected to not just rules and regulations. Rules and regulations have their place, but bhakti. And from bhakti, as that awakens, then there's an interest for rules and regulations, and there's an allergy to rules and regulations if bhakti isn't there. So, I mean, that's like a little digression on what we just read. But that's our, that's a service that we have as the best friend. That's where, why the digression. Narada's being the best friend of Kamsa. Now, I don't know if somebody other than Narada could have pulled it off. Go visit Kamsa and let him know, you know, oh, you received me very nicely. I want to show my favor to you. Here's some news. Protect your backside. But, you know, he's Narada, and he knows how to manage the situation. He knows the mind of Kamsa. He's meeting in Akhil Vasudeva. No. It's those two. Go after those two. That's your backside. Go, do the needful. And best is bring them here, and you kill them right here. And you make a good plan. You're smart. You're a good demon. You know how to kill people. So make a good plan to bring Krishna to kill Kamsa, because that's what the devas wanted. That was what the devas wanted. And he's Naradevata. And they're going, yay. They maybe also be going, uh-oh, Krishna's going to be in trouble. But he knows Krishna's not going to be in trouble. Any more than Krishna knew that Yogamaya in the hands of Kamsa, nothing will happen because she's Yogamaya. Who can kill Yogamaya? Not possible. Who can kill Krishna? Not possible. Krishna will destroy Kamsa. And he did. So, mission accomplished. And reuniting Krishna with Vasudeva and Devaki, and accelerating that by having them shackled. He didn't have to say shackled, but he did. Because it would, you know, it looked to Kamsa like, you know, I'm on your side. And it looked to Krishna like, uh-oh, I better go rescue Vasudeva and Devaki. They're in shackles. And he informed them what happened. So it's like a Sherlock Holmes story or something, but it's much better. Big mystery. But Krishna is at the center. So many novels and fiction stories, and even science is practically science fiction. And, you know, people don't, you know, many people just don't say, well, wait a minute. But when it's the Bhagavatam, they go, hey, wait a minute. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chakvadeham punar janma naiti mamiti sorjana. This is coming to know Krishna, or vedaisa sarvair aham eva vedyo. It's coming to know Krishna. And by knowing Krishna in the bhakti sense, because you won't know him otherwise, then are the door, the path, back to Godhead is open. I mean, we have some distance to travel, but at least faithfully we're doing the right thing. And we can experience subjectively something is moving inside. The heart is moving and so forth. So let's see if there's some discussion. It's been nice being in Vrindavan, but coming attraction. Well, of course, soon as Krishna's, this terrible scene of Krishna's being taken away by Akrura, maybe we should read, when I get to that, Brihat Bhagavatamrita's description. It's really far out. Really far out. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Maharaj, like yesterday's evening class, the question from... So like when we are hearing the pastimes of like Krishna playing with the cowherd boys, or like people thinking when they put his hand, Krishna put his hand on one of the cowherd, like people were... other gopis, and they were thinking how lucky the Krishna is, the bees when they have. So I was just thinking like, they are like, it's just like setting and such a nice example of just hearing that is good, and also there is nothing like envy or anything. It's just an appreciation. But the reflection here is like, if sometimes we see if somebody is getting or some service or some appreciation, that thing comes up on us like the envy or jealousy or all those stuff. So is it that like the more we are into the connection, those things come out? Or like the more we are connected to Krishna, we come over those envy or all those stuff? Or is it that like... one more thing, like, is it that like more we are... maybe the more we are Krishna conscious, is it? Or bringing our, instead of keeping myself in center, trying to bring Krishna in center. So, is that, my understanding is that we try to over them, we just try to overcome them, or I don't know, I was just...
Like, you gave me at least four options.
I just was...
It was pretty spontaneous. Well, you know, the bhakti process is gradual, likened to the rising of the sun. It's gradual. So how it works is going to be in an experiential level different, at just like different stages of the rising of the sun. On the experience level, it will be different. But the principle at these different stages is diminishing of one thing and increasing of another thing. Diminishing the contamination, the covering, the illusion, and all the, as you use the word, stuff. And then, so that being eliminated or reduced gradually, the darkness is dispelled by the rising of the sun. And the light is increasing. That is, less focus on myself, less focus on what's in it for me, you know, the I and mine, less of that, but more of Krishna's pleasure. So it's gradual. But so certainly replacing the I-centered with Krishna-centered consciousness is a principle. And as we advance it, that's what happens. Less I. Now it doesn't mean that I dissolve and become a non-entity. But Krishna's pleasure is everything. So then there is, using Prabhupada's way of describing this, there's transcendental competition, not the mundane envy kind. The gopis are looking at the good fortune of the cowherd boys, saying, oh, how fortunate. But then, you know, there's another feeling, you know, I want that position. But it's not the mundane envy, I want that position. It's a transcendental affection for Krishna position. So the varieties of emotion that we have here are reflections of the pure situation in the spiritual world. There's no contamination. So there are, but there's all diversity of feeling. And to us, when we hear that diversity of feeling, we're looking at it through the lens of our contamination. So we don't get it. Transcendence is something that's, you know, beyond the lens of the mind and the contaminations of the mind. We can't get it. But we, at least in principle, we need to understand it's not like this. It's different. And exactly what it is, I don't have a clear idea. Other than it's, you know, there's no material contamination in principle. But as our feelings of devotion to Krishna awaken more, then we'll have a clearer sense of what it is. And like Brahma, how exalted are these residents of Vrindavan? My next birth, that's, you know, the next universe, because he's going to be Brahma till the end of the universe. In my next birth, let me take birth somewhere in Vrindavan, so the dust of the feet of these. So the exaltedness is something he can understand, but it's a little out of his reach. He's most exalted. He's the head of our sampradaya. He's the giver, receiver and giver of all this, but that's the conclusion of one who knows the Vedas. Is how exalted is that? So, does that answer your question? You have something more. You're holding the microphone, ready to say something. Go ahead.
Maybe I'll think again. And
okay. Okay. Thank you. Carry over till next time.
Hare
Krishna.
A couple of online questions here. This is from Prakash Narayan Govindan. Narad Muni is often misunderstood and misportrayed.
Yes.
It is partly because of his apparent modus operandi.
Yes.
He seemingly creates or facilitates these situations by cunning. Yeah. Our acharyas explain Narad Muni's actions and reasons behind is to accelerate the killing of demons in the case of today's reading,
yes,
etc.
Yes.
However, he could have possibly done these in a more straightforward way and not confuse mundane people about his own character. I wonder why this modus operandi. Please, could you explain?
Well,
he doesn't need to justify his actions to anybody. He's guided by Krishna, so he does what Krishna guides him to do. I mean, aside from the particular, you know, hey, why did you do that? I have read from scholarly, you know, I just came across it, I wasn't looking. Common, and I haven't come across it, but common is he's looked at as like a joker. You know, in certain circles, he's looked at as like a fool. Like, you know, a strange, weird, you know, character. So that, you know, people judge through their lens. So like his question is, you know, could he do it in a more straightforward, how straightforward can you get? He went to Kamsa and said, hey, here's the truth. You want to know the truth? Here's the truth. And it was the truth. What he said was the truth. It wasn't non-straightforward. It was, you know, too straightforward. He wasn't seemingly not exercising the kind of diplomacy and protection of Krishna and Vasudeva and Devaki that you would expect. You know, he's an exalted person. He was too straightforward. Someone might argue. So, you know, why did Bhaktivinoda do what he did, or Jagannath Babaji, Das Babaji do what he did, or Gaurakishore do what he did, or Bhakti Siddhanta do what he did in the way that he did, or Prabhupada do what he did, and leave themselves open for criticism? Because there's always going to be people. But they're, all of those names just named, they're guided by Krishna. And they have their relationship with him, and they act accordingly. And there's all diversity. So Narada is Narada. As we just read, he's an avatar. So why didn't he do it in a more straightforward way? Because he's Narada. And he does the Narada. He does it according to the indication of Krishna. I mean, say it a different way. How many times did Narada just happen to appear at the right time and say the right thing to all kinds of different people and help them move along the path of bhakti? Why did Narada advise Magari, don't half kill, fully kill? You know, that seems strange, but you know, he was guided by Krishna, and well, why? You know why? Because they're suffering. Really? Huh? I never thought that they were about their suffering. I learned how to do this from my father, and if they're suffering, then yeah, and not only that, you're going to have to suffer because you're causing suffering. Really? I never thought of that. So you know, he just went step by step because he's Narada. He knows how to take people that are covered and help them become uncovered. And, you know, once again, he's being Kamsa's best friend. Kamsa got liberation. So, you know, if one doesn't understand one who knows how to liberate Kamsa, can go ahead and say, you know, why did he do what he did? He was being Kamsa's best friend. Honest, in a transcendental sense. So, let him judge rather than judge him. But are people going to criticize? If he did it a different way, they would criticize too. Depending upon the lens they look through.
One more question here. A couple more popped up. This is from Rangavardhani Mallipedi. When I started my bhakti in my early 20s, The understanding is to some extent is as do's and don'ts, as result the heart has become hard. Because of do's and don'ts, the heart has become hard. What is remedy to make it
soft again?
make the heart soft in service. This is Divyambara Devidasi.
Okay. Think of Srila Prabhupada beginning to introduce Krishna consciousness in America. And he saw what America was at that time, and it's particularly his audience. He made no effort to introduce rules and regulations. And I don't know if you initially were introduced to rules and regulations. You're probably introduced to prasadam and kirtan and coming to the temple. And then after some time, bhakti awakened, and then you asked or somebody offered to you, here's some regulations. Offer your food to Krishna and whatever the other regulations. So the attraction for Krishna comes first and regulations come next. Now, if your attraction to Krishna has become slackened, it may have everything to do with your submission and not with the rules and regulations. So the objection to rules and regulations, which you're saying makes the heart hard, is looking at the rules and regulations and resenting that they're interfering with the senses being enjoyers. But there's a purpose for rules and regulations, like cleanliness and whatever. And it's to keep the mind and the senses in a clean condition. And if you don't like the clean condition that results from the rules and regulations, don't blame the rules and regulations as interfering with your happiness or your heart. Look at the essence. Bhakti says one more time. Look, hit the reset button and ask yourself, why did I become a devotee? You're revisiting the original mood, or the current evolved state of that mood. Do I really want to be a devotee? And why do I want, what's inside? What's important to me? And then you can take a look at the rules and regulations, and with a different lens, then my heart has become hard because of the rules and regulations. That's not why the heart has become hard. Because of the rules and regulations. You checked out. Or slackened. That's what makes the heart hard. And then the rules and regulations look like, pain. Then you're not understanding you've lost the purpose of the rules and regulations. Because submission has slackened, and the bhakti principle has waned. So go revisit the bhakti principle, not what your feelings are about the regulations.
This is from Archana Vaidya Mataji. Can someone give Krishna based on conviction or realization is more important, or only Krishna's empowerment?
Why create a dichotomy like that?
Because one cannot give Krishna unless Krishna empowers.
Well, but that's what, who is Krishna going to empower? Now, the first half of the question is an either-or question, and it's not an either-or, that's a mistake. The frame of the question is misleading. So don't make that dichotomy because it's artificial. We need both, in other words. Okay?
This is from Shravan Nemuri. Like Sridham is dearmost friend of Krishna, so what is the relationship of Sridham to Balarama? Second question is, who is dearmost friend of Balarama?
Krishna. And I don't know if it's a fact that Sridham is the dearmost friend of Krishna. I think Balaram is the dearmost friend of Krishna. And the relationship between Sridham and Balaram is, you know, they're friends together.
So this is from Archana Dattar Mataji. When I am facing some problem, my mind is not focused on chanting. Compared to chanting on other days, how to focus on chanting when going through some problem?
Faith. And practice or discipline. When there's shelter, when the position of being sheltered is matured, and out there, there's a problem. You need the shelter to deal with the problem. You need the intelligence, the strength, the wisdom, the protection, etc. You go running for Krishna's lotus feet. Now that's when the sense of having Krishna as your shelter is there. You know, it's the principle of protection. It's one of the six limbs of surrender. Krishna is my protector. Over there, you know, it doesn't mean you don't do practical things, but particularly when you're engaged in sadhana activities, attention goes to the object. There's the object of affection and the abode of one who's feeling that affection, ashraya and vishaya, or vishaya and ashraya. So just be really clear who Krishna is to you in your life at a feeling level, not just, you know, Bhagavad Gita exam level. And as that matures, that's how you take shelter. You practice taking shelter, and then when difficulties arise, it increases your shelter taking. That takes a maturing stage of shelter taking. So that's what you do. You cultivate. Maya sakta manak parta yogam yunjan madashraya. Madashraya. Take shelter. And then maya sakta maya. Mind's attached to me. Anyone else in the room? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned about Narad Muni being the best friend of Kamsa, and also the point of a friend is one who reminds oneself of Krishna. So in our effort, when we go out for...
Can you turn the volume up a little bit, or speak a little louder, one or the other?
In our effort, when we go out preaching Maharaj, we come across people who are not favorable for Krishna. So what is being the best friend of such kind of people?
It requires intelligence to know how to remind people of Krishna, time, place, circumstance. And if minus intelligence, you won't have an answer to that question. And intelligence comes from Krishna. So how you get intelligence is, you show Krishna, I want to please you, and Krishna will give you intelligence, how to please him. So how to depends upon intelligence. It depends on the person, time, place, circumstance, etc. So you don't necessarily have to give a Bhagavad Gita class to the person, or, you know, hit them over the head or something. It can just be your good character. And then they become attracted to the good character and then become curious, where's this good character coming from? So it can be indirect. Doesn't have to be. But, you know, somehow or another. Always remember Krishna, and as a best friend is helping others remember Krishna. Achar can be stronger than prachar.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Is there time for one more question?
No, I'm just checking while there's a little pause here.
Oh, okay. Thank you for giving your classes. They're really great. I'm really grateful to you. My question is...
I've been waiting for you to ask your profound questions, too. You ask, like, you know, good ones. Challenging ones.
Well, I don't know if this is...
That's a build-up. You better be a good one now.
Yeah. My question is that the best friend is someone who's helping people remember Krishna. And also there's elements of time, place, and circumstance. And also many people are not favorable to hearing about Krishna or even any concept of God.
Yes, of course. I'm very familiar with the territory.
So my question is there value in sharing sort of elements of a Krishna conscious lifestyle?
Yes.
Outside of how they relate to devotional service to Krishna?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. Now, saying that, you as the devotee, you don't abandon the bhakti that's in your heart. You're speaking on something that's the receiving person can understand, appreciate, and relate to. And you don't leave that bhakti position in your heart. You're speaking about that which they can relate to. It goes on all the time. Yeah. Like, you know, take any topic. Take, you know, gratitude. Or whatever. Sound. Music. And, you know, you can start over there, and then, you know, you don't have to be explicit. Because it's in your heart, it leads to further questions, and then depending upon, you know, the receptivity of the person or whatever, then you can be more clear, more explicit, but it leads to bhakti because that's what's in the heart. That's an art. And one of the risks for someone who does that is losing their bhakti or becoming compromised by hiding bhakti so much that it just literally becomes covered over, it's not in their face. It's a risk. But, you know, being in the material world, it's a risky place. Not extending bhakti is a risk, and extending bhakti is a risk. So we're risk takers. And we have to know our capacity. And don't take risks beyond our capacity in order to, like, do a good deed and then lose our bhakti. So we have to be who we are. And cultivate bhakti, that's the who we are part. And then, you know, because we wish to be in service to others, we're looking for risk-taking creative ways to bring bhakti to this person, that person. You know, when you get to the position of Narada, you can do anything. You go anywhere, do anything at any time, and Krishna is with you. Angira commented to Narada about Magari, saying, wow, you're really extra special, because this fellow used to be like that, now he's like this. So we're not Narada. We can't do that. We shouldn't imitate. But, you know, within our limits, you know, strengthen and grow our bhakti and find creative ways to extend it to people that may not be otherwise, you know, inclined. Knowing that in their heart bhakti is also there, more than bhakti, prema is there, but just covered, and, you know, whatever. So what's a practical way? And even if you don't have the answer, thinking that way is good. It strengthens your bhakti muscle. And then, at the right time, Krishna will give some intelligence. Okay. Prabhupada ki jai.